Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
What a blessed privilege to be in the house of God. I echo Brother Chad's welcome to you and his thanks and his request for prayer and admonition to prayer for yourselves and for me. Please pray for me. I feel your prayers. I have all week. I thank God for them. I feel God has granted our petition that he would be with us in worship and that he would teach us and guide us and lead us. And that he would get honor and glory. I feel like that has happened. And those blessings I'm thankful for. But we certainly, again, stand just as in need this morning as we have every evening this week. So please keep praying. Please don't stop. Please thank God for his help. I have tried to lean on the everlasting arms this week. As I approach a meeting, and you know, it's four different sermons, and it's a big undertaking. At least for me, it is, and I don't feel worthy or capable, but I do feel comfortable in leaning on the everlasting arms. And I have this vision in my mind as I approach a service or something that's daunting. I have this vision that the Lord comes alongside me with his strength and his grace and his peace and gives it to me and helps me and blesses me to lean on his everlasting arms. And I've felt that this week, and I beg him for it this morning, continued help. It's a blessed privilege and pleasure of mine to see you and be with you. Many of you have been here all week in this meeting with us, and not all of you, but I praise God for every one of you that are here. I've stood here a number of times over the past years, and I see you this morning, some that I have not seen in a while, and it's good to see you, and it's good, obviously, to be with those that I've seen a lot in the past and fellowship with. We've had good fellowship this week. Thank you, families that have fed me and visited with me. It's been a blessing to get to know you better and to just renew friendships. It's been good to be in this place. Best of all, it's been the best, though, to feel the presence of God in this place and in our hearts. I thank God for it. I thank God for holding us up. One of the things we sang this morning in sung, I forget, I don't know which verb, but we stood together and we let our voices unite in song. And one of the things that we said was, let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And that's been the theme this week on my heart. And I've tried to convey that with my thoughts, hopefully guided by the word of the Spirit of God and guided by the word of God, the goodness of God and the kindness of God. It's been a blessing to me to study it, and I hope it's been a blessing to you, brethren, as we worship together. This morning, I want to stay on that theme. Would you turn to Psalm 133? Psalm 133 is a psalm that has three verses. It's a very short psalm. And it'll be familiar to you when you get there, or maybe already is. Maybe you know what 133 is. My Bible says it's a song of David, a psalm of David. It's a wonderful one. And sometime in the last several days, as I was praying about coming here and what to try to preach on, this is one of the things that came to my mind. And I pray, I feel it's from God. I always want to do the work of the Lord. I want to be nothing but a messenger boy from God. And so may I this morning, with God's blessing, bring a message to you from Psalm 133. Three short verses, a very short psalm. I'll read them now. And in your Bibles, please follow along as I read. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. Let's pray together. Brother Chad said, pray without ceasing. He said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's pray. Oh God, first of all, we give you thanks for your goodness to us. We've tried to study this week your goodness, your kindness, oh God. We thank you for it. We thank you for the fact of it. We thank you that you blessed us in the services this week to think about it, to acknowledge it, to rejoice in it. We thank you for this place. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to preach your word. I beg you to help me this morning. Oh God, give us thankful hearts for what you do for us. Oh Lord, open our hearts now to understand your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Oh God, open every heart here to receive your word. Make us to rejoice. May we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Get honor and glory, O God, that's due your name. As the choir has sung, worthy, worthy of worship, worthy of praise, O God, you are. May help us in praising your name. In this hour, we beg you, forgive our sins, O God. In Jesus' name we pray, that name above every name. Amen. I thank God, brethren, for his word, and may he open it now to us and help us. I want to take these verses, brethren, and take each one in order and make some comments, expound upon them. First of all, the word behold. You see that from time to time in Scripture. I'm going to state the obvious, brethren. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. But sometimes in Scripture we have the word behold. All of it's important, and we need to study it and grasp it and understand it and meditate on it. But sometimes a verse will begin, a sentence will begin with the word behold. And that to me means special emphasis on what's about to be written here, what's been written, what's about to be said. It means observe. It means listen up. It means see this, get this, behold. I thought about this morning when I was making my notes, I thought about my family when I was a little boy. I had an older brother. He was 14 months older than me, and a younger sister. And we lived in the country. We didn't travel a whole lot, but once a year or so, we'd go on vacation. We'd go a lot of times somewhere we'd never been. We had a 56 Chevrolet we traveled in back in those days. And my brother and I sat in the back seat, and our sister, I guess she sat usually in the front because we picked at her when she was between us. But we'd be glued to the window, brethren, looking out the window. And seeing new things. And every once in a while, one of us would say, look at that. We wanted, it impressed us, and we wanted our family to see it, our loved ones to see it. And here, brethren, David says, look at this. Get this. Behold this. Behold how good and how pleasant. Behold how. Behold the degree, behold the extent of what he's about to say. Behold how good and how pleasant. Behold the extent of the goodness and the pleasantness it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For brethren. Brethren. Siblings. We call brothers and sisters siblings, don't we? I ask people from time to time, you have any siblings? People ask me that. It means you have a brother or a sister. But David, brethren, is not talking here about the natural family. He's talking about the family of God that we belong to. Brothers and sisters in Christ. The family of God. We have God, brethren. Those that have God as their father are in the family of God. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. We're adopted into the family of God. We've talked about that this week. That's how we get into His family. He adopts us in. We dwell together. I looked up the word dwell in my concordance, and my concordance has a Hebrew dictionary. And you can look up the word, I can, dwell, and you can too, dwell. And then you can turn to a section I do in my concordance, and it'll tell you what the Hebrew word was that the translators came up with the word dwell for. And one of the meanings of it, of dwelling together, means to sit down. To sit down together. Isn't it a blessing, brethren, to sit down together? Every one of you, you came in the sanctuary this morning and you sit down. We sit down together. This week, we have sat down together with family, church family, brethren in Christ, and enjoyed meals. We've sat together and visited and caught up and told about our life and our history and our family. We've told one another, we've witnessed to one another about what God's done for us. Behold how great it is to sit down together. God has blessed us to sit together, as Brother Chad said a moment ago, sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Behold how good and how pleasant that is. We, brethren, have been blessed this week to think of the kindness of God to His children. We are a family that is united. We sit together, we dwell together in unity, and we are united, brethren, by a common cord. And what is that? God has, as we said the first night, it's like David fetched Mephibosheth. God has fetched us. He has drawn us. He has called us to Himself out of a wilderness, a waste howling wilderness, out of our lost estate. He's brought us out. We have that in common, brethren. Our family has that in common. What a blessed thing. And we identify with that, with one another. We have that in common. We talk about it and we enjoy it and we rejoice in it. He's fetched us out. David fetched Mephibosheth out of the place called Lodebar. And you know what he did? We said on Thursday night, I might have said Monday night, but on Thursday night, what he did? He brought him to Jerusalem. Remember that? I think it was the last verse in that chapter in Samuel. It says Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. He gave him a new home. He gave him a new abode. He gave him a new life, brethren. And we have in common the fact that God has fetched us, brethren, out of a lost state to a living state. He's called us from death unto life. He's blessed us to enjoy that. And we celebrate it this morning. We come, we don't go to the natural Jerusalem, brethren. I've never been there. Many people have. Many people travel there. I hope to one day. And that'll be good. I'd like it. But you know what I can do right now, and what's better than any earthly city, is I can travel to the new Jerusalem. As Brother Chad described it, he's quoting the scripture, we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the kingdom of God. That's the new Jerusalem. God blesses us to do that, to enjoy that, to dwell in the new Jerusalem. He's chosen us. He's chosen us. He's made us to sit at His table, to feast at His table, as David did Mephibosheth. His banner over us is love and goodness and kindness. He's chosen us. God the Father has chosen us in Him, in Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and we're indwelt now by the Holy Spirit. We dwell together in unity. We're united by that common cord, brethren. It connects us. We came from the same place, the wilderness, a wilderness of living in sin and sadness, but we've been brought to life. Sometimes I'll be in another city and I meet somebody that's from my area. You've done that. When you meet somebody from your hometown or your area, You talk about the place you came from. Maybe know some of the same people. Know some of the same events. We come from the same place originally, brethren, all of us, a lost state. And I like to testify to people that God brought me out of that. And I like for people to tell me I came from there too. I'm from there. I'm not there now, but I'm from there. It's all in the past. Gone away. Thank God for that. Called out. Brought to life. How good and how pleasant it is to sit down together and discuss that and testify about that. It is like, David said, it is like precious ointment. My wife sometimes puts on lotion after her bath, and she changes it from time to time. Some I like better than others, but sometimes, man, does it smell good. It's an ointment she applies to her body, and it's a blessing to me. In the New Testament, we have an account of a woman who applied a precious ointment to Christ's feet. And it says that the odor of that ointment filled the house. There were lots of people there. I don't know how many. There were people there. I think the apostles were there. Christ was there. The homeowner was there. And this woman showed up. She had an alabaster box of ointment. And she broke the seal and poured it out on Jesus' feet. I believe it was the occasion where she wiped his feet with her hair of her head. I'm not sure, but I know that I remember this. That was an anointing. That was a service to our Lord and Savior by that woman because of her love. And the writer, I think it's Luke, I'm not sure, but the writer says the odor of that ointment filled the house. Now, I like that. I like it because it reminds me, brethren, of the blessings of God and giving thanks for them and the blessing of God on us as we do service to God. It's like the sweet savor of an ointment. And David says, what God has done for us, and he's united us in eternal life, it's like the precious ointment, a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. Aaron was anointed with a precious ointment in the Old Testament. God gave that instruction for Aaron and his sons. They were priests. And God gave instruction for them to be anointed. Them and the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and the altar of incense and the candlestick, the instruments of the altar. He gave instruction to Moses to prepare an ointment and put it on the Ark and the contents of the Ark or the instruments of the Ark and then on Aaron and his sons. That's in the Old Testament. Let me read it to you. It's in Exodus. It's Exodus chapter 30, verse 23. I want you to listen, brethren, to the what went into the preparation of this precious ointment. And this ointment, I'm going to read this, but it couldn't be used, brethren, for anything else. It was limited in purpose and scope. Take thou also, this is chapter 30 of Exodus, verse 23. Take thou also unto thee principal spices. I didn't look up the word principal, but I get from that there's certain special spices. Not just anything you got in your cabinet. Take thou also unto thee principal spices, and here they are, pure myrrh to begin. I'm not going to read the amounts of them, the recipe, but just the contents. Pure myrrh, sweet cinnamon. Can you begin to smell that? Sweet calamus and cassia. Those are, as I believe, all dry ingredients. I like to cook. I like sweets. I make them. I follow the recipe. And a lot of times the recipe will say, combine the dry ingredients. And then you put in what the eggs and milk, and the oil, things like that. We got those dry ingredients. And then it says, lastly, an oil and of oil olive. There's the liquid poured into that. And listen, verse 25. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. I think there might be a pharmacist in here, I'm not sure, but I read of late about pharmacists, they say, we do compounding. I think that's where you just don't order the drug from the manufacturer all in a capsule, but you take ingredients and you mix them up, I think, and you come up with something good that's appropriate for the patient. Make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy oil, anointing oil. Thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony, and so on. But then come down now to verse 30. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons. You see, that's what David is writing about in Psalm 133. Brethren, dwelling together in unity is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. That's what he's likening it to. Anoint Aaron and his sons. Consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Get that? The priest's office. Verse 32, upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it. Don't copy it, this recipe. Some people say, I don't give out this recipe, right? This is for a special recipe right here. This is for the priest. Upon man's flesh, it won't be poured. Neither shall it make any, don't make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. It's special. David likens that brethren dwelling in unity like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. And then he says, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Let me give you two things about that. I was reading in a commentary, and the commentator said, he said, when I think of a skirt, I think of like the hem of a skirt. They wore a mantle over them, the priest did. And this commentator says, I really don't think it, they poured, they just didn't just soak him with oil. It didn't go all the way down to the hem of his garment. He says, he thinks it's the collar. If you read about the mantle that the priest wore, it had a collar. It says, so it wouldn't tear. And I tend to agree with that. It's not a big deal. It can be both. But it got on his clothing. It got on his clothing. And the next time he went to put on that mantle, he smelled that holy oil. It was a reminder. It was a reminder of the consecration of him and his duties. I can almost feel the oil and smell the sweet odor there. It's also, David says, verse 3, brethren dwelling together in unity, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. My understanding is Mount Hermon is one mountain near Jerusalem, some miles distance. And then there are mountains, also other mountains of Mount Zion and the mountains around the city of Jerusalem. The dew covers them. I read in the commentary that one man had talked to this commentator, John Gill, is who I studied most of the time. And he says, I know a traveler and I trust him and I believe him. And he says he went to Mount Hermon and he camped out there. And it didn't rain in the night, but the next morning when he got up, his tent was soaked with the dew. That's how heavy and covering the dew is there. The dew. The dew in the morning time. I told you this week about my wife and I buying some cows, and the one lowing, and I couldn't get her to hush. She's so loud, it's disturbing the neighbors, I was afraid. Every morning, I go and I open a gate for the cows to go into a different pasture. They're in a little side, we got a little side pasture that has a fence, and it's just a board fence. There's no wire there, and I get a little concerned they may get out. And so at nighttime, I toll them with the feed bucket into the big barbed wire pasture surrounded by barbed wire. But in the morning, I want to give them extra grass and I want them to graze in this pasture. And in the morning, the grass is right now about this high. And you know, when the dew gets on like that, you know, you can just leave a trail. I look down at my boots. I put on some rubber boots and I walk through that dew. And it leaves a trail. It gets all over my boots. It covers. It covers. It cools. It refreshes. It waters. The dew does. Pleasant things that David describes. He compares brethren dwelling in unity to these things. Good things. The dew upon the tender grass in the early morning. Cooling. Refreshing. That's what it's like, brethren, to be a brother or a sister in Christ, and to sit down in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The Lord decreed life to us. Upon Him, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And we've studied and rejoiced in this week that blessedness of everlasting life. It comes from God. He fetched us. He adopted us. He placed us at His table where we sit together in unity. His banner over us is love. And we will dwell in His house forevermore. We read that in that account of David fetching Mephibosheth, we read that he dwelled at Jerusalem. He stayed there. As far as I know, he lived his life out there in the king's house. Let that, brethren, the fact that you are a child of God, that God has fetched you and adopted you and saved you and called you, let the fact show in your life, brethren. Rejoice in it yourself. I want to go to, about to close, I want to go back to somewhere where we were earlier this week in Revelation, chapter 1. I told you that there, as I read from chapter 1, verse 5, that Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That's chapter 1, verse 5. And then verse 6 says, and He's done something else, brethren. He has made us kings, I said. I read from the scripture, I think the second night of the meeting. And I talked about kingdoms. I talked about Saul and his kingdom and how disobedience, through disobedience, brethren, the kingdom was rent from him. And I talked about how we, Christ Jesus, has made us kings, and we can live in a kingdom life here. We can live in the kingdom of heaven, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's for obedient children of God. I said that to you. And I said, I didn't say it this week, but I've said it before to brethren I was trying to preach to. I said, how are you reigning these days? How are you reigning? Are you reigning like Saul? Are you in disobedience? Or are you reaping the blessings of obedience like David did? David was so happy. He said, are there any left of the house of Saul that I can extend the kindness of God to them? I want to spread it. I want them to experience the oil of anointing. I want them to experience the dew settling upon them, the blessings of God. Kings. He's made us kings, brethren. And it says, and priests. Priests. In the Old Testament, that anointing oil was limited to Aaron and his sons who succeeded him in the priesthood. No other object other than the tabernacle, no other person than Aaron and somebody in the priesthood. Old Testament. But you know what, brethren? We're in the New Covenant now. We're in the New Testament. And John the Apostle, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that Jesus Christ has made us kings and priests unto God, His Father. And you and I, brethren, can sit together in heavenly places, and we can enjoy the precious ointment poured upon us and experience the dew that descends upon the Mount of God in the kingdom of God. God bless us to enjoy that. I want to close with this. It's words from a hymn that I like and I think speaks a lot of truth to us. The first verse says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now that means getting along. Yes, it does. But primarily this morning, I think of it as unity, unified by the fact that we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have that. We sing in unison. We did that this morning. We've done that all week. We join our voices together as one. We worship in unison. We are one. In this hymn, it's a contemporary hymn. It says this, "We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored." We're unified, brethren, when we get to heaven. But we are unified in worship, in when we worship in spirit and in truth. And then the chorus says this, "And they'll know that we are Christians by our love, by our love." Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. They'll know that we are brethren in Christ by our walk. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land and in our lives. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side as one in unity. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. We'll take care of each other. We'll defend each other. When Satan attacks, we'll come to the aid of our brother and our sister. When we see them struggling, we'll come to them. We'll pray with them. We'll help them. We'll seek their good. All praise to the Father from whom all things come. All praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Oh, brethren, may God bless you to display the love of Christ in your life as you live it. Wherever you are, there are children, babes here today, and there are elderly, and there's every age between. God speaks the same message to every single one of us. Work for the glory of God. Let your light shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify God, our Father, which is in heaven. It's been a wonderful week to be with you, brethren. God bless you. God bless me to put into practice what I've tried to preach. God bless you. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful psalm that speaks of what you've done for us and how rich it is. Oh, God, thank you for life evermore, everlasting. May we live, Lord God, lives that would honor you until you take us home to be with you, ever to be with the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.